Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Come check out the website, read the articles, listen to the podcasts, go to the store, join the club, and help us raise money for the kids. And as I've mentioned the last 3 weeks, this month in October, we are also raising money for breast cancer awareness. So anything that you can do to help us donate to both Children's Hospital and breast cancer research, please do pass the word on and help us out. And as always, you can listen to this podcast and any other ones along with my articles on SteelCityUnderground.com, where we feature many great columnists covering the Steelers all day, every day, with so many great articles, podcasts, games, prizes, and so much more. So check us out. Okay, so last week I talked to you, the Steelers were leaving the Bengals game, heading into the bye week, and they went out of the bye week in first place because the Bengals, Browns, Ravens all lost. The Steelers were off, and at 3-2-1, they sit in first place, heading into Cleveland week. You can't really be too disappointed with that, can you? Considering the start they had to the year, the fact that after 7 weeks, 6 games, they're in first place is pretty good. It's hard to say what this division is. The Bengals are better than I thought they would be, honestly, thus far. However, I could see them starting to crash here, but they're better than I thought they would be. The Ravens are actually a little bit better than I thought they would be. The Browns are actually what I thought they would be. The Browns I thought would be improved. They are improved, but they're not great. So what is this division? I mean, the Steelers still have 3 games to go, one of them coming this week within the division. They're currently 1-1-1. If they can sweep the rest of the way through 4-1-1, I mean, that would be pretty fantastic. I don't know that they do that. I have a feeling they win against Cincinnati and Cleveland this week, and potentially they lose in Baltimore and get swept. But we'll see. I'm not quite there yet. But it's also a very realistic possibility that they could go 4-1-1 starting this week with another victory against the Cleveland Browns after having tied them in week one. We all know the story there. So this week, you know, they're going to have to rely on their offensive line, as I wrote about a week and a half ago. Those are the keys to the way they click and the way this offense goes and to the success of this team. You know, I think if they can get James Conner, the bowling ball, moving, as Roethlisberger called him last week, a bowling ball, 20 carries or so, another 4 or 5 catches, they're going to be in great shape. Try to keep Roethlisberger's throws in the mid-30s, get Antonio Brown his catches, limit the Roethlisberger sacks, which will not be easy, by the way. Myles Garrett is a beast, if you haven't noticed, and he's got 7 sacks already this season. Larry Ogunjobi, if I pronounce that correctly, has another 4. And the Cleveland Browns as a defense have 19. Roethlisberger at the beginning of the year and then again this week on his show said this is one of the best defenses they'll face. And he's not wrong. They definitely have a very, very solid defense. Not only do they have the 19 sacks, but they have 11 interceptions, which is pretty solid. Pretty solid. Denzel Ward leads that team with 3, but they've got multiple guys with interceptions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 guys totaling 11 interceptions is pretty good, quite frankly. That's certainly better than what the Steelers put out there, that's for sure. So defensively, you know, they're going to have their challenge is going against that defense, as they did in week one. But I think they'll play a lot better offense in this week than they did in week one. They turned the ball over too many times that week. You know, they just had too many mistakes. Boswell certainly didn't help things in overtime and really hasn't been very good throughout this first portion of the season. I think he's going to be okay, though, and I think that'll probably start this week. Giving him a little mental break during the bye week didn't hurt anything, I'm sure. But you know, I think if they can just have an even offense, and Roethlisberger said this on his show, even doesn't necessarily mean 50-50. It could mean 70-30. It could mean 80-20, pass heavy. But in terms of pass heavy versus even, that could be what even means these days, if that makes any sense. But I think they what they need to do is make it more of a run style. Again, I've said this many, many weeks now. I don't think they need to limit Roethlisberger's throws as far as keeping him around 20 or 25. I think you need to limit him to keeping him under 40. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I think he's going to get his 250 yards or more with that. I think Brown can get his 7 to 10 catches and a touchdown. Juju's going to be involved. I'd love to see Washington get more involved. And, you know, maybe he got some work in this week in the bye, coming off the bye, and maybe we'll see him a little bit more. You know, Juju came on a lot later in the year last year, and that could be what Washington does this year. I think he could be a very important part of this offense moving forward, and I'd like to see that start this week. Vance McDonald is a beast, and he's going to be a big portion of this offense moving forward, and I think he'll have a major impact against the Browns this week. But I'd also like to say that as great as McDonald is, I don't want to forget about Jesse James. He's a very good tight end, and they could use some two tight end sets and get both of those guys out there and be very, very effective. So I think they're all great red zone targets. I think McDonald is a bigger play threat than Jesse James, so I do like him more. But I don't want to forget about Jesse James either, because he definitely has the ability to be impactful on this offense. From a defensive side of things, right now they don't have Patrick Peterson, everyone. I know everybody would love to see that happen. It's not going to, but we can all dream. Patrick Peterson will not be traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers if he's traded at all. The Steelers don't make October trades. They don't. They don't give up first-round draft picks. It's going to take at least a first-round draft pick to get Patrick Peterson. And that's at least. And considering that the Steelers should probably be drafting at the bottom of the first round, they're probably going to have to give up more than a first-round draft pick. And that's just not what they're going to do. So as much as it would be amazing to see them make that move, I don't see it happening. But goodness, I mean, just wouldn't that be fantastic to have Hayden on one side and Peterson on the other, with Hayden all of a sudden becoming your number two? And Hayden's good, but he's a lot better as your number two, isn't he? I mean, Burns can't play. I pick on him every week, but the guy can't play. So that side of the field is just a weak spot. It's just a massive, massive weak spot. So I would certainly consider making that move for Peterson if I were the Steelers. But it's not going to happen. And certainly, obviously, this week they're playing with what they have. And with what they have, they need to make sure that they stop Jarvis Landry, who's by far the Browns' number one receiver. And he's a very, very good receiver. He's got 7 catches of over 20 yards, 41 catches overall, a little less than 500 yards. I mean, he's only averaging close to 70 yards a game. And he's better than that. And I think against the Steelers, he could feast on this secondary, and to me that's very dangerous. So the front 7 are going to have to get to Baker Mayfield, and they did not face Mayfield in week 1, so this is a new look Browns team, and as far as that is concerned and as far as the Steelers are concerned, you know, Mayfield, he's got some scrambling ability. He's a guy that scares me a little bit. He's the kind of player that the Steelers lose to, quite frankly. He hasn't been perfect. He's what, completing about 58% of his passes, 6 TDs, 5 picks, so, you know, rookie numbers, basically. But he's a guy that can make plays happen. He is a winner coming out of college, and he's just the type of player that beats the Steelers. I remember when Johnny Manziel went off on the Steelers for the Browns. In fact, I was at that game, and it's not like Manziel had a great NFL career. I think that's very storied as far as how he was, but he had a great game against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh a few years back. And that's what I can see Mayfield doing against this secondary. So TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, they've got to get to Mayfield. They got to contain Mayfield. Much like I said about Tyrod Taylor in week 1 when they played the Browns, Mayfield needs to be maintained in the pocket. Do not let him get outside. Don't give this kid time. Rattle him early. Hayward and Tuitt need to get up there and smash him as well. And I actually expect a huge second half out of those guys starting this week. Those guys have underperformed through the first 6 games. They've got 10 games to turn it around, and I expect that they will. In fact, I'm giving Cam Hayward 2 sacks this week against the Cleveland Browns. That's what I see happening there. So I think if they put it all together, you know, and they kind of play like they did the last couple of games before the bye week, they will come out of this thing with a victory, and they will win relatively easily. I'm giving them a 35-23 victory, and I think that that's not unreasonable. The only thing that scares me is the fact that out of their last 5 years of bye weeks, they're 1-4 coming off the bye week, which is an unacceptable number, by the way. Unacceptable number. They cannot continue that trend. You know, and I don't believe that number includes the playoff loss last year when they came off the bye versus Jacksonville. So 1-5 in their last six byes. They can't do that. They need to maintain their focus leading into the week. They need to maintain discipline. They need to be wary, very wary of Myles Garrett. They need to keep Mayfield in the pocket. And they need to contain Jarvis Landry because he's a guy that can break them. I didn't even get to Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb, but both of those running backs are dangerous. Chubb, to me, is more dangerous, and I expect him to get the ball far more often. But they definitely need to make sure that they contain those offensive weapons that the Browns have and then move the football consistently with their weapons. And I think it starts, of course, with the offensive line, but running the football with James Conner. If they do that, they should win this football game without a lot of trouble. I think the Browns will be in it through the first half and the Steelers will blow it open in the second. So I'm giving them a 35-23 victory, a 4-2-1 record, and then heading into Baltimore the following week. And that's where we will pick it up next week, hopefully after another Steelers victory.